majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown.
Lord Jesus, we thank you once again for providing a service today in your house. We pray that you come and bless all the tithes and all the offerings, Father God. Bless all the people, Father. Remember the sick, Father. We pray that you'll raise up their level of faith, Father. Accept what you've already done for them. Bless Brother Wade as he's out preaching and continue to strengthen. Touch Brother Sam, Father, and come shine your light upon the Word, Father, and open the Scriptures to our hearts and give us something to keep us all weak, Father God. Forgive us of all sin in thy precious name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's turn over to 164. 164 is powerful.
Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, just tell all my friends that I'm a-coming too, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, coming for to carry me home. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. It was a band of angels, they were coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, just tell all my friends that I'm a-coming too, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand now. Ask Brother Colley if he'll come to respond to the greeting.
Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, talking about that chariot coming, we need to always be ready to go. We know what time it's going to swoop down for us. I think Friday night I was on the way home, and they're working on the road in that area. And they had, during the week, they had the lanes blocked. But they opened them back up, and somebody didn't see it. And they was meeting head on about two car lengths away from where I was. They never stopped, slowed up or anything. But it was a lane that I was able to stop and get up out that way. So, you know, we just need to pray and thank God and ask Him to bless us each time we get behind the wheel, get in that car, because you never know what it's going to be. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 95. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're always grateful and thankful. God, how you are mindful of us. Lord, how you protect us and care for us each and every day. Lord, we ask you to give us strength and love in our hearts, Father, that we may always be yielded unto you and keep you constantly in our hearts. Let us pray, Lord, one for another, for the safety that we have love. God, have understanding that you love us all, and let us love each other as you love us. Father, we ask you this day for anything in our hearts and minds that shouldn't be, God, that you will remove it. Lord, we know not what day that you will come back for us. But Lord Jesus, just let us be ready and be prepared that we can take our flight. Remember those in the Sunday school classes and bless them, God, that their foundation will be strong. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale today and touch him in a special way. Lord, that which you give him, Lord, that he be able to present it unto us in the way that we can receive it. God, and we thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 95. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with a hymn of songs.
For the Lord is great, God, a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is of his.
The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands form the dry land. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, Amen. And the sheep of Amen. His hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice.
Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness.
When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work.
40 years long.
Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God bless you. Be seated.
Brother, you know, we mentioned the Yonts family this morning. Brother Boyd's wife, Janice, she had a cousin, I guess it's a cousin, Brother Thomas's niece, that passed away last week. We need to remember that family.
Let's turn over to 182.
182 in the spiral book.
I have heard of a land on a faraway strand. It is a beautiful home.
home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, there we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, no, we'll never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old, no, we'll never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. In that beautiful home, shall be in the sweet by and by. Happy praise to the King, through eternity sing. 'Tis a land where we never shall die. Never grow old, no, never grow. In a land where we'll never grow. Never grow, no, we'll never grow. In a land where we'll never grow. When our work here is done, and our life crown is won, and our troubles and trials are o'er, all our sorrow will end, and our voices will blend with the loved ones who've gone on before. Never grow, no, we'll never grow. In a land where we'll never grow. Never grow, no, we'll never grow. In a land where we'll never grow. Let's look over to 192.
Thank you.
192, Honey in the Rock. Oh, my brother, do you know the Savior who is wondrous, kind, and true? He's the rock of your salvation. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Do you walk in the way that's new? Have you drank from the living fountain? There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Do you pray unto God the Father?
what will thou have me to do? Never fear, he will surely answer. There's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Then go out the streets and byways, preach the word to the many or few. Say to every fallen brother, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the sun to cover. There's honey in the rock for you. Then go out through the streets and byways, preach the word to the many or few. Say to every fallen brother, there's honey in the rock for you. Oh, there's honey in the rock, my brother. There's honey in the rock for you. Leave your sins for the blood to cover. There's honey in the rock for you.
Amen. Let's turn over to 204.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing a verse or two of this. What a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Will there be no sorrow there? No more burdens to bear? No more sickness? No more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. You're looking forward to that. We'll change the order of service this time. Everyone will stand. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. See you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in the heart that we sing. Holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Oh, you love him.
Pour out your power in the heart that we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen. To see him, don't you?
Amen.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord.
You.
If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and then we will go to Matthew 13. Ephesians 1, Matthew 13. Remember, Wade will be up at Brother Joe Green's today ministering there for them and traveling back tomorrow, I think. So remember them and keep them in your prayers. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock, so come and be with us. We have always have a good time in the Lord. Now, remember, too, the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday. And also remember, the Sweetheart Banquet will be the 13th, which is the second Saturday, I guess. So remember that and just get everything ready for all things. And any other announcements I generally miss, we got to talk to Sister Hulda's daughter yesterday. She said she was doing great, said that she was sitting up in a chair and talking and doing and beginning to be able to take some liquids and things. And I also praise the Lord for that. Just keep holding her up in your prayers, and the Lord would bring her on out of this. Amen. Ephesians 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, your understanding. Thank you for you, Lord. We pray that you would just help us to understand the day and the hour that we're living. And, Lord, that the time would be here in this day that we could, Lord, follow your word. Because it would be given to us to understand the mysteries of thy word. That was not given to mankind all the way down. Some things were, but now that we've come down to the fully opening of the word to understand all the mysteries, and we thank you. We ask you to just help us and guide us. Bless each one. Remember Wade there ministering. Just be with him and give him what to be said there for the people. We love you and we thank you. Be with all of the sick ones, Lord. And remember the ones that, Lord, have lost their loved ones and things. And just be with the families and all of these ones and bless each one, Lord. We love you and we thank you, and we commit everything to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, we've been reading. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now remember how we've been bringing it down. This covers the entire journey over to where we get to the last part. All right? Foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. What? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather to get together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. For how long? Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The entire journey of mankind is covered in those verses. That's why we keep reading them over and over for each point. Okay. Matthew 13:36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. All right, then the field being the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed the tares, right, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. We can just stop reading there. We won't go on to the rest of it, because that's part of what we're doing. But you may be seated. But now, I want you to think with me, because we're going to try to bring this part of the message that we've been on of predestination made simple. We're going to try to bring it to a kind of not a closing now, but we'll probably be after this afternoon. We will change the title, pick up other scriptures, and move on in the thought. So I want you to follow that with me, but don't forget, and I'll keep mentioning it, services and all, don't forget the point of what we're talking about, that it is predestination made simple. Simple to where that we can understand it. All right? Now, then we read here and we see that in the parable that you have the sower that went forth to sow the good seed, and that was the Son of Man. All right? Then you have the one that sowed the tares. That's the devil, our Satan. And he's sowing that part. So there is a division between the two. All right? Now, we will get to the more of it as we go along, but just remember it is a division there in defining the children of the kingdom are the good seed of God, the Word of God. The tares, and remember it's sitting right in the same field. So remember, it's right in the same church. Right? It's not divided up today, and there are the seeds. See, we can do that real easy. We can look at them churches, and we say, well, them's the seed of the serpent. You know, that's that tares over there. But we're the wheat. Well, if that's true, that's true, but it might not be true too much. All right? Because, you know, we want to make sure and keep that. Because, now, in all of the parables, and Jesus said that he spoke in parables to bring forth the mysteries to mankind. All right? And he says, given to you, who? Not the tares, not the children of the devil. It's given to you, the children of the kingdom, to understand the mysteries. Now, we'll get into, as we go along a little bit, into the message more on the new birth and things, to see that you and I must become to that point. It's not that we were born this special something. We must accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and let him to make us into this kingdom, because it's not just because, well, we're a special people. We've born this way. We've born with this seed in us, and we're the children of the kingdom. If you're not born again, you're not. All right? That should be simple. That should be a point of understanding that shouldn't have to be explained a lot, that we was born wrong. Of course, you know, everybody wants to make it, oh, yeah, but we're this and we're that. Well, how did you get to be that? You know. Well, we was born that. Well, I hope this series on predestination has taken away a lot of those thoughts of mankind and placing together the Word of God to be able to understand. All right. Now, to me, see, then you got a bunch of, especially in Matthew 13, you got a bunch of parables about the kingdom of God. And then it'll list in another one, kingdom of heaven. You know, don't get that as this one's way up here and this one's way down here. Just get it as what it's talking about. It's talking about the children of the kingdom. Because who is it speaking of? That's who it's speaking of, the children of the kingdom. All right? And a lot of those parables, you know, may cover this, and this one cover this, and that one cover this. But it all comes together to make one complete story. I remember, and I know it's always helped me, in the book of Daniel, I believe it's right, that you have it comes to explaining those different people, the Medes of Persians and this and that and the other. But to me, if you'll read the book of Daniel, and if you'll just read it and look at it, that here he is explaining, you know, the kingdom, the things, all right? The next parable or the next vision or dream, it will just add things to that. It's the same story over and over and over, but unfolding more into reality to where you can see it. But see, we try to figure one of them out to be this and one of them out to be that. Just read it. And that's what I ask you to do about the parables. Just read those parables in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see if it's not all speaking of the kingdom and the children of the kingdom are the good seed. All right? Now, we've been through the predestination to find out how you become seed. But we didn't become seed. Well, there had to be a way to be brought down to us. All right? We will cover some things more on that going on, but I want you to think on it that way. That all of those parables is explaining the kingdom of God. And they're all explaining, they may not mention the good seed, you know, and the tares, but that's what it's explaining. It's explaining the kingdom. And that's the point that was to Nicodemus that we spent so much time with, that you must be born again. Because you got to be born again to be in the kingdom of God.
Right.
All right? So then that should be settled by now in our thoughts of doing it. It should have never been any question. But I bring out a lot of things about it because I know and realize that how the devil talks to you and I, you know. And he talks to the people and tries to get people to be built up in this way or built up in that way. And about the time you get it figured out that you're doing pretty good, you're going to get the props knocked out from under you. Because he's going to slap you good, you know, and send you in another direction and all. But just stay with the word to what it would be. All right? Now, we spent a lot of time covering that predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge being God's mind and knowing. And it's not predestination first and then it's foreknowledge. You remember, that would be incorrect. The prophet keeps stating it, I think it's four or five times. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge then will then look all the way down to your destiny. Even election looks back to foreknowledge. You remember that on the adoption series? And then foreknowledge is the point. It's God's foreknowledge, for what he foreknew. All right? Not, now, as I've always said, that it's not that he just sat down and he looked at something and he thought it all out. No, it was a part of him. He never had a new thought. It's part of him. All right? See, in doing that, then we come down to where we are now, to dealing upon the reality of life on earth. Okay? And then as you read those parables, read them as thinking about where we are now. That was why I kept emphasizing that one, the part, you know, that I know most of you didn't agree with me. That's all right. But I'll just tell you what I believe. But when the Bible says that it sprang up, well, that meant that seed had to come to life to spring up. So you can do what you want to. I'm just trying to preach about the kingdom. Because remember, you can't just have that as being one thing and this as being another. It's all got to come out to make a beautiful picture. The Bible is the picture of what? The fall and the regeneration of mankind. Right? All right? Then in doing that, then all of those things would it be explaining. And see, I can take the parables as to where we are right now. You know. I can talk about the stony ground and the things like that. And see how that people and how they do. All right? And that's right in our life right now. But it was speaking of back there too, coming forth and being there. Now watch that in a minute as we get to it. As we split this parable as to speaking of two different things to where that we can understand. But I want you to make sure you follow with me what I'm saying. You remember last Sunday when we got down to the part of covering and trying to emphasize a lot on that verse 37 there in Matthew talks about the sower of the good seed is the Son of Man. Right? That is the Son of Man. Okay? Now, the Son of Man then is the sower of the seed. You say, but I've got to quote where Brother Brown said, Son of God sowed. Well, amen. Because remember what your prophet said on the rising of the sun. He said, who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? See, now you've got it to where that you're not dealing, well, this is Son of Man, this is Son of God. Remember that he was God all alone. Whether you want to talk about Son of God, Son of Man, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all of the things, what is it? It's still speaking of the same person, which is Almighty God. All right? See, then that way you can look at it no matter where you see it, and you can see that the Word of God has to be sown into our hearts. Huh? Brother Branham, then he would emphasize Son of God, or he'd say Son of Man, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Because he's explaining what is happening. All right? Jesus was the creator God, right? According to John 1, Hebrews 1, Colossians 1, James 3 and 9, Jesus Christ. Now, not Jesus the flesh, the Christ. Amen. All right? So then he was the Son of God, and he was the Son of Man. Now, watch this point. Now, you'll think I'm trying to correct Brother Branham, but you just listen to what's said. Brother Branham emphasizes that he never called himself Son of God in the Gospels. He called himself Son of Man. He emphasizes that, right? But don't get lost when I say this, because he'll turn right back around and say that he was the Son of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
He's emphasizing what is taking place, or putting his emphasis upon the point of seeing what is taking place. Because that was the Son of God walking on the shores of Galilee. Because that's what Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I've been over it and over it and over it. They didn't catch that Son of Man.
No, they didn't.
They didn't understand it.
Right.
But do you and I understand it? See, especially when we get down one of these days into a message, bringing it out, where Brother Brown says the bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man.
Amen. Right.
Now, we don't like that one. But I'm sorry, I'm too far along. Because, see, that was the first sermon that I preached in this message in 1969 in Athens, Georgia. I've got my notes on it. I don't have the tape because it wouldn't copy any. But I was preaching then that the bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man, what the prophet had to say. All right? But you see, that's where we want to go up so far. We want to say in a way that's right. The prophet would say the bride is the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Come on.
Yeah, we don't want to go that far. Well, you know what we're doing? We're shortcutting ourselves, and there won't be no change of the body for that. There won't be a change of the body in that way. We're going to go by the grave. I said that 35 years ago, though. And I ain't backed up yet. I said the biggest portion of people of this message, true born-again believers. I didn't emphasize nobody. I said true born-again believers are going to die and go by the grave. Well, I ain't backed up on that yet. Why? Because it's the truth. You and I may be one of them. All right? Because it's going to take something to take the change of the body. But it's not sugar tits going to church and being good. Right? If you're born again by revelation, then I sure hope the statue of perfect man is built by revelation. And I sure hope this message is based upon a revelation. Right? I hope it's all built on revelation, don't you? All right. Now, see then what I want you to think with me for a minute about this that I was trying to explain last Sunday about who is this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? Now, I'm not going to get into you and I and the part we are. I just hold it to that way. We're simply talking about Jesus Christ, who, as I said, was the one in Genesis that said, where it says, God created the heavens and the earth. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the Creator God. John 1, all things made by Him. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3 and 9. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, for by him were all things created. Hebrews 1, by whom he made the world. They can put those up if they want to, because all of the scriptures are there. I give them to where that they can put them back there, and it goes on the internet of people knowing who I'm talking about. Because, see, a lot of people, you can say, John 1. Well, I read John 1. I just read it the other day. I read the whole book of 1 John. And I didn't see nothing about him being the creator. Well, you didn't read. You read letters off a page. That's what I've been emphasizing.
Amen.
One thing, what? As long as it's laying on the pages of that book, it's dead letter. Right? And that's the way we read. We read words off of a page. God must speak to our heart for it to be revealed. This Bible is no different than any other book as far as the paper and the contents and the words that are here.
Right.
But when we think about it as being God's word, it's very valuable. All right? But are you following me now? See? So who is this Son of Man? The very Creator God. All right? And Brother Branham says on Show Us the Father, he's talking about Jesus explaining to the disciples who this sower of the seed is, that it's the Son of Man. All right? Now, what does John 1:14 say? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now you're coming down to the Son of Man. It was Son of Man back in the Old Testament, right?
Right.
But they were a Son of Man.
Right.
See? But he is the Son of Man. All right? The Son of Man used a Son of Man to speak, right? The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, not the flesh, get that out of the way, because that hinders you. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, as he was condescending downward, right, revealing himself in many ways to us, and he finally stands on the shores of Galilee, and he keeps referring to himself as Son of Man. Son of Man. Why? Because that was the dispensation or the point or the time. Right? Then when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, then it would be Son of God. But just remember what I was saying there a moment ago. While he was here on earth, he was Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, all standing there. He just wasn't making it manifest. Right? He was the Son of God. Is that right? That's what Peter said, the heart and the cry. He was the Son of God. But he wasn't manifesting that, because that would deal with the Holy Spirit coming into the hearts of the people to make them the children of God. But he was dealing as Son of Man. The sower of the seed. And showing that who he was and what he was doing. All right. Now, the little woman reached up and touched him or talked to him, or the person there, you know, Son of David, have mercy. He said, that ain't right for you. You're a Gentile. But there was more than the fact of her just being a Gentile. It was the fact he was not displaying Son of David.
Right.
Son of David is in the millennium of promise to David, the ruler over the whole earth and everything. Get into the message a little bit where Brother Brown would talk about the Son of Man is the ruler of all things. Huh? See, because it has a meaning to that Son of Man. All right? There's a meaning to that. All right? See, the Son of Man, it means God in word form. That's why I say, Peter, he said, thou art the Christ. Now, we hadn't got to that message yet, but what did Jesus say back to him? He said, Peter, you didn't understand, because he asked him who the Son of Man was. Who the man say, I'm the Son of Man? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you ain't got what I'm asking you, but you got enough that I'm going to build my church on the Son of God. That's why Brother Brown said he'd be Son of Man back there. He said then down through the ages, he's Son of God.
Yes.
But then his key was that we missed. And he says just for a moment in that little part there, he's going to come back as Son of Man in the last days.
Right.
Then he can go to Son of David.
Amen.
For the millennium. All right? See, then the prophet's right. We just need to get our understanding in the right order.
Amen.
All right? Now, let's watch this parable of where that we were looking at it as the Son of Man, as the sower of the seed. All right? Now, Brother Brown said on the message, faith that was once delivered to the saints, that God sowed the seed of everything. And watch it. In the beginning, as God sowed the seed. All right. Now, so then that Lord Jesus Christ, not the flesh, I keep saying that because I know how the mind twists and warps it. Well, the flesh got no. See, then you cut off everything that's being said. I try to warn you of those things, but you think I'm just being arrogant. I try to warn you of the way that I know your mind will do. Why? Because I've got one of them somewhere back up in this head, and it does that away to me. Here a while back, I was giving you a title of a sermon, and you remember, I told you. The title was so an odd title, I said, you're going to just sit down and lock down. I never heard that message. I never read that title. And your mind for about 5 minutes has gone on the title, and you ain't heard a thing that's been said. Right? Well, see, that's the way we do. All right? So listen. God sowed the seed of everything. Okay? Now, you realize then in doing it that the sower of the seed would have to apply to the creation of the world, all of the things to come down, and then we'll use it as the application as we were using it Sunday. Because I want you to get this more than anything, because you ain't going to follow the rest of it if you don't listen. Because I like what Brother Branham said. I mean, what the Bible said, that Jesus said about the parables. There it's in Mark. He said, if you don't get that, he said, you won't get the rest. Okay. Right. Right. You remember we emphasized that? He said, if you don't get this parable, amen. If you don't get the parable of the kingdom, you ain't going to understand nothing about it. Oh, yeah, you're going to have a head knowledge.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to have intellectualism. Okay. But you're not going to understand the kingdom. Okay. Remember, what is the kingdom? It is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
All right? So now watch then. Watch that Son of Man, no matter what, even back there in the Old Testament. Even where it says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. If we believe that Jesus was that God of John 1, Hebrews 1, Colossians 1, Ephesians 3, then Jesus Christ was the Creator. Back there, the Son of Man. Now watch it. See, then everything would have to come forth from that word that would be made alive. Right? All right. So do you realize a prophet, even in his saying, what does it take to make a Christian life? He said, our bodies was laying in this earth. While we are not a denomination, he said, our bodies were right here. He says, when Adam walked here, our bodies were in this earth. Where did our bodies come from, if not? Remember, mom and daddy ate and brought you here. That's the way the body gets here, right? The physical body. Because mom and daddy eats and lives and time, and then they get married and they have children and you know, that brings us. But see, where would it come from? Because what are our bodies? You remember how the prophet explained it? Calcium, potash, petroleum, etc. It wasn't our bodies laying. I'm under this tree. You got to get under you another oak tree. You say, oh, that's silly. But that's the way our minds work. It was that in the earth as potash, petroleum, gases, and etc. Not physical parts. No more than it was when the prophet would say, when Jesus walked here, we was in him.
Amen.
Not little bit of people running around. You stay on your side. That's like the kids, you know. Daddy, get on to him. He's breathing my air. He's sitting in my space. You say, oh, that's silly. That's what I say. That's the way our silly minds work. We were there as a part of him, as his being of who he was. We've been through that. But do you understand what I'm saying then? So what's the story now? What's natural turned into spiritual. All right? So then everything, even our bodies. Now the body of Adam was in the earth. God brought it out of the earth, made a body. Our bodies were in the earth like Adam's body was in the earth. They just needed to be brought out. Okay. Are you with me? Now watch it. Watch it take more emphasis as Son of Man. Is it true that Brother Branham explains that the prophets built the body of the Lord Jesus? Do you need them quotes? I'm trying to cut down on some of the quoting with this, and I'm trying to cut a little more as we go along to just do more preaching line. Because if you're not going to go back and look it up or think about it, and you call me, I'll be glad to give it to you. The prophets built the body. John was the last one to come to introduce the head.
That's right.
Right? And the head was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the body.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
See, and it took that 4,000 years to bring his body into existence. Now, here's what I'm trying to get you to see, and what I've always tried to get you to see. Jesus' body. Now, listen. Everybody awake with me? Listen. Jesus' body didn't come out of this nasty earth. Now, you're going to differ with me there, but you go back and think. Our bodies come out of this nasty, filthy earth. His body never come out of it. His body come by creation. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Well, where is it? Where did it from the original creation? Where did all of this potash and calcium and petroleums and things, where did it come from? Hey, we're supposed to believe in the one Big Bang theory point, you know, that it was once all together and then went out. That's the way your prophet explains it. That when it blasted off, you're when he's writing his book, he's doing it. All right. Not the bang theory of mankind's, but the real truth that God created. He created this world. And our bodies was in that part it was created. But the body of Jesus Christ was created by the word that those prophets brought. See, we say, oh, but Brother Dale, you've got creation after the creation. I thought it was all created back there. I know what the prophet said. He says he's the author of the physical creation. But he didn't stop creating. Are you listening? He didn't stop creating when he just created all of that and even created the body of Adam. And made a way that our bodies and things could come into being by our moms and dads. He didn't stop creating.
Amen.
He started using another way.
Right.
What was those prophets? The Word.
Amen.
Who was he? The Word.
Amen.
So then he starts creating the body of the Lord Jesus. By the words of the prophet. If you can't even follow it, go read Isaiah. It's a complete book in itself. Encourage you all the way through. Isaiah is the greatest book to read of the creations. You remember 66 books in the Bible, 66 chapters in Isaiah. It's a complete Bible. Goes all the way, shows the millennium, shows the future, shows the whole thing in the book of Isaiah. All right. But now are you following me?
Yes.
He created a physical earth. He created a physical man called Adam.
Right.
He placed our physical bodies into that earth that was created.
Right.
You know, the potash, the calcium, the things. All right? But then he started creating again. Why? Because the creation that he created had fallen.
Right?
Adam fell.
Right.
So I had to start creating again. The same word that said, let there be in Genesis, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
You know, then Genesis, what, 2, where he brings the physical body of Adam into being. All right. But see, he started with something that mankind didn't know anything about. I've not read a lot on commentators, but I read a little bit, and they didn't follow that. It was Brother Branham that was telling you that those prophets built the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That John was the last one of the prophets in the head to enter. I mean, in the neck to introduce the head, or the, whatever you want to call it. But see, one day that body that was created by the Word. Take out one of those prophets. What kind of a body would you have? He would be missing a limb. He'd be missing the... Each one of those prophets back there was building the body.
Amen.
Right. We see one day that body stood on earth. And the Bible said, and the Word was made flesh. Right? And the Word was made flesh.
Amen.
As I said, where did he get the potash, the calcium, the crystal? Not out of this earth. But his body was the same element forms, but not out of this earth. I don't believe that. I believe it comes from the original creation. Because it took 4,000 years to get it here. And I don't know how many prophets it took to speak the Word before the body could fall into the Virgin Mary. Right? And when it would fall into the Virgin Mary, and Brother Branham would say, what? You remember the other day? What would he say? He said, where did he become the beginning of the creation of God? He said, in the womb of the Virgin Mary, a creation. Not her having anything to do with it. He created egg and sperm, germ, and what you want to use those words for. From the original creation. All right? From the original creation, he brought forth the body. From the original Word. Are you with me? The Son of Man. So then he's the sower of the seed. But that's what I was trying to get to you Sunday where you could see that parable, see, is explaining the natural creation. But it's also speaking of a spiritual creation. Now we have one between the natural of the creation of the world and the creation of Adam, the human flesh. We have one between that and a spiritual kingdom. So they're all called the children of the kingdom. Those Old Testament saints, in the basis of what they were doing and what it was bringing forth, would be called the children of the kingdom. But that was not the way he wanted it. So when he came in flesh, the one that brought the natural creation world and thing, then by the opening of the Word to bring forth Christ, the mystery of God, revealed that God had a plan and a purpose. He would bring forth the body that he could step into. So he wasn't through creating back there. But just remember what I'm saying. His body never come out of a filthy earth. He didn't speak it out of this. He spoke it from the original creation. Now that's me. That's what I believe. And the reason I believe that, you can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean. Right? And see, his body was a creation of the Word. Just like Adam was a creation of the Word. Just like the world was a creation of the Word. But it was bringing God into human flesh. And there's where we'll be beginning to start on our next part. We'll go into it. Because what is the message to this age? What is the message to the Laodicean age? What is the message to this age? You ever read that to just understand? What is the message to this age? 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Right. These things saith the Amen. Who is this? Almighty God. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's the message to this age. The beginning of the creation of God. Well, how could God begin? If God began, he would have an ending. It's speaking of the flesh. Brother Brown said, where did that take place? He said, in the virgin wound.
Right.
That body, you know that body was a creation? You know that that body was not eternal? You know that body had to be made eternal?
Amen.
It was made eternal in the resurrection and change and take it. But it was not eternal while he was here. Because he's going to connect the natural to the spiritual. All right? And you better remember your body's not eternal yet either. So you ought to remember that part. You know? Okay? But listen. To just have a natural world, a creation, and mankind to live on the earth was not all of God's plan.
Amen. That's right.
That was not all of his purpose. That would not fulfill the things that is spoken of. So then he starts building that body. Showing what he really wanted Adam to be. Right? But Adam fell from the holy estate, never fell to death now. He didn't die and go to hell, so get all that out. But he fell to natural death. So here would be one come that would have to be the God of glory dwelling in human flesh. And that he would have to be the beginning of this creation. We'll get back more this afternoon a little bit before we proceed. You know, the questions and answers, we'll have it this afternoon. But see, it doesn't fulfill God's plan and purpose to just have a Genesis account. You know what I mean? Bringing the world, bringing the man, that's not his fullness. But it's neither is it all of his fullness to have a body physically that was created by the word of those prophets to stand on this earth as Almighty God in flesh, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Is that scripture? That's not the fulfillment of it. That's what I was trying to get you to see last week. And I would ask you, if you didn't see that or hear that message, I'd ask you to please go back and hear it. You know, I've done heard it once and a half. Not how good I am, but I just wish you would go listen to it. It would take out a lot of problems. Well, what's he mean this? What does he mean that? So that's what you said. And you get lost in all the world out there, and you're sitting there sound asleep. And I'm preaching away, and you, well, I didn't hear him say that. That's why I keep the tapes. Because you come and tell me I say so and so, we're going to play the tape and find out. One of us is going to be wind up to be wrong. Huh? But listen. Then, Look how beautiful, though, he would make in his natural creation. Now watch it, the natural. That he would bring forth Adam.
Right.
All right. And Eve would be in Adam physically.
Right?
Right. He took a rib, made, come on, physically in Adam. She was not a separate creation. That's what the wonderful, beautiful part that everybody makes it want to look so dirty. Oh, she wasn't in the original creation. Brother Brown said he thought so much of it that he wouldn't allow it to be of that. He would bring it in the original creation because she was in Adam in the original creation. She was not a person standing out. All right. But also, what did he say? That Eve was in Adam in theophany. Paragraph 829, the questions and answers on Hebrews. He said she was a part of the physical creation. Right? In Adam. And said she was a part of the spiritual creation in theophany. All right? See, then when they were put into flesh, Brother Brown said, Adam had eternal life. Blasphemous name. You argue with him. Well, then you know if Adam had eternal life and Eve was in Adam in theophany, then Eve would have had eternal life in her soul, in her being.
Amen.
But nobody after then until the Lord Jesus Christ would come. Because he's coming for a special reason. He's coming where he can be the beginning of the creation of God.
Right.
Adam was the beginning of the natural man. That's the first Adam. The second Adam is the beginning of the spiritual creation that would come forth. All right? See? Then he would not only call them, now listen to what he's calling them in the parable. He's calling them the children of the kingdom. Right? The good seed are the children of the kingdom. All right? Why can't you put another word there? Say, the good seed are his offspring. Is there any problem with that? Go on. Why would it not be that that could be even called his bride? Because I thought we believed that we were in the Lord Jesus when he walked the shores of Galilee.
Right.
Not physically now.
Right.
Now come on, we weren't physically. Because we got to come into a spiritual creation before we can talk about a physical one. That's why the Lord Jesus made it like he did. He had a physical creation, brought man into being. Then he starts a spiritual situation by the existence of the Word creating the physical body. He's tying it from the natural to the spiritual. And pulling it together in a beautiful picture of the one standing between as to be Almighty God himself in human flesh. And as he does, then, what was he? See, we was not in his flesh, but we were part of his own life. So that settles that part. But God is going to bring forth his children, his offspring, right? The good seed are the children of the kingdom. So then watch what I tried to cover last Sunday. Then how are you and I going to come into existence? If it took, you kind of halfway nodded your head a while ago, you know, you didn't amen too much, but you did nod your head a little bit and grin, some of you don't. But if it took 4,000 years to bring the body of Jesus Christ by the prophets, a son of man, right? Speaking for the son of man, that's why they would say, thus saith the Lord. See, it was the Lord telling them to say it.
Amen.
They were not the Son of Man. They were a Son of Man. They were the prophets that the Word came to.
That's right.
It took 4,000 years to get that body here. All right? Then God would step into that body. I was looking at a quote the other day that I've used to use a whole lot. Brother Branham said it would be a whole lot better, some way of paraphrasing it. He said, if it's in the Church Age book, I'm pretty sure. But he said, if people understood the oneness of the Godhead. You remember that?
Right.
Now, what is the oneness of the Godhead? That's not oneness teaching. Because you got to have Father, Son, Holy Ghost to be the oneness of the Godhead.
Amen.
You remember oneness is one like your finger? He was back there, he was over here, and he's here. The last form of God was Jesus Christ. That's the oneness doctrine. But he said it'd be better if people understood the oneness of the Godhead. Do you understand the oneness of the Godhead? Not as a oneness. Do you really understand true oneness? What is true oneness? Like Wade was bringing out Wednesday, you know. And that's why we're so dead set against those type of doctrines to try to warn you about, to keep you from falling into those traps. And then we're accused of being agnostics, you know, all kind of hateful people. But if I don't agree with something, I'm going to tell you I don't agree with it. Because I'm trying to save your soul as well as mine. The doctrine of Jesus becoming God on the River Jordan, and then it left him in the garden, and he died a man. Some of you are listening to those things and the people that preach them. Well, I've never heard nobody say it like that. Well, you slept then like you sleep now. You're cooking in the kitchen then like you're cooking now, figuring out what you're going to have for dinner. What is the oneness of the Godhead? You know, if we take it correctly, it's beautiful, right? There's just one true and living God, right? So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three gods, right? It's an explaining of the one God. So when that baby was born, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said is born this day in the city of David, a man that would, when the anointing would finally reach him, he'd be made God. Now, that's not Bible. That's the teaching of mankind. The Bible said born this day in the city of David is a what? A Savior, number one. Meaning we tie together everything to all of those attributes, which is what? Christ the Lord. So you know he was born to Almighty God.
Right.
Now that's why people don't understand the oneness of the Godhead, and that's why they're against me in the way I teach. The body of that man was a creation by the Word, right? Right? The Spirit in that man, Brother Branham says, may I quote him? Was the Spirit that in sundry times and divers manners, Hebrews 1, that created all things. That's why Peter would recognize him, thou art the Christ. The soul in that baby was Almighty God.
Right?
Now there's your oneness. The body of creation by the Word. The Spirit, the very Creator God. Not just an anointing. But then the soul being the soul of Almighty God. Wade gave it Wednesday. I know I ain't going to do it now. I'll have to preach some this afternoon. So if I miss a question, we'll move them over to Wednesday. I'm sorry. But Wade bringing it out there Monday in Isaiah where it said that when he gives his soul a ransom, he said he'd see his seed. Right? Who is that?
Amen.
Almighty God. Who was that baby laying in a manger? Your prophet said it. Jehovah with no teeth.
Right.
Jehovah crying in a cradle.
Right.
Oh, but he didn't become God until he come on up. Oh, heaven help your oneness doctrine. Your Trinity. That's Trinity when you've got this person being this person, has got to be in that person and do this person. That's Trinity.
That's right.
See? Who was that baby? The Word made flesh. All right? Now, as he developed throughout his life until his crucifixion, he was constantly becoming the Word. And it finally wound up being an adopted, manifested Son of God, the Word, called the Son of Man. See, that's the way I believe the Godhead.
Amen.
You say, oh, he was body. Body was this, and soul was this, and spirit was this. No, in body, I hope you understand me. God created the body. He said, a body thou hast prepared me. And if you want to quote, Brother Ryan said, Father. Where he said, a body, he said, Father. Who created the body of Jesus? The Father. Who created you? Your Father. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three gods. The Father created the body. The body was a human element. The spirit within that man was the spirit in sundry times and divers manner. The soul was the very soul of Almighty God.
Amen.
Jesus hanging there, is it on the cross where he said, my soul is troubled. Or sorry, in the garden. See, we can preach. That's where people don't understand. They don't follow it. I know what the Brother Branham said. I don't mean I know everything. But I know where he said it like this. He said he was anointed, as Wade was preaching Wednesday night. He was anointed on the River Jordan. And the anointing left him in the garden because he couldn't die with that anointing on him. But you know where this is where people fail to follow? I don't mean Wade, because I know he knows what he's talking about. He just didn't have the time. You know, Brother Brown said, after the door of the Gentile church is closed, he said, I'll anoint a church then, and God will do in 1 year in that church what theologians and things just tried for 2,000 years. Watch, but that ain't all of it. But said, he's doing it now. Read the rest of the quote. What? He's an anointing of people.
Right.
The anointing is the teacher.
Right.
You get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's a new birth. But you must have a teacher.
Right.
Anointing part to teach you.
Right.
Well, the Holy Ghost is my teacher. 45 years trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you still look at people's faces and you wonder what in the world is being taught. Listen. You remember where we got to? We want to cover this one. So pull number 7 up. This is from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. And look what your prophet said about this Son of Man. Paragraph 143. But what he wanted to be, he loved fatherhood, for he was a father. And the only way he could express it was to become a Son of Man. That's the reason Jesus kept saying, the Son of Man. They didn't know what he was talking about, many of them. But now you get it, congregation hollers, amen. How many understood it? He wanted to express himself. That was one of his great threefold purposes, was to identify himself with human beings. He says the only way he could express the point of being a father. Was to be the Son of Man. You said, well, wait a minute, Brother Dale. I've got you. Glad you have. So listen, because then that way you'll stop and think. Brother Brown said, a Son of Man, for the reason he wanted to say it. Did you read the quote? Come on. And the only way he could express it was to become a Son of Man.
Right.
You say, yeah, but he should have said the Son of Man. You want to change him? You're going to change the thought. Because you ain't listened to what I said. It took a Son of Man, prophets through 4,000 years, to bring the Father into being the way he wanted to be. You're mighty quiet on that, so thank. You didn't listen. God used the prophets to speak his body into existence. Though, a Son of Man come down through the whole Old Testament, bringing forth the Father into being, which would be the Son of Man. And he could be the Father of everything. He's the Father. He's the creator of the world. Was you listening? He was the creator of his own body. Was you listening? But he didn't stop creating then. He just got to the point he could create the way he wanted it. Was you listening to that last Sunday?
Yes.
Then he would be the sower of the seed. He sowed the seed of the children of the kingdom, right?
Right.
Am I right? Is that the Bible?
Yes. Right.
The devil sowed the seed of corruption, the tares and the things.
Right.
God himself sowed the children of the kingdom. He sowed his offspring. Come on, can't you follow it? He sowed our bodies in the earth when he said, let there be.
Amen.
Right? You agreed with that?
Yes.
Our bodies come out of this earth. He sowed them there.
That's right.
That's what your prophet said.
Right.
You see, that's why I love to be able to stand behind a message. That the message is infallible. The man wasn't infallible. The man made mistakes and thought. But the message is infallible. I challenge anybody on that out there or anywhere to show me where he was wrong. Oh, he said, don't call me up and tell me he said 700 instead of 700 instead of 7,000. I ain't got time to fool with you. I'll do you like Brother Brown said that time. You remember, he said said somebody called him or contacted him, wanted to talk to him about something, you know, that he's preaching. He said, I found out it was a woman preacher. He said, I didn't even answer back and didn't go. Well, don't send me silly, stupid statements and then expect me to talk to you. They'll go in file 13. Right? Why? Because that's stupidity to say, well, Brother Branham said so. Yeah, I know it. Brother Branham made human mistakes. But the message is the Bible. The Bible and the message are one. There's where I stand. So you show me where the message is wrong, then you'd make the Bible wrong. You show me where the Bible's wrong, you'd make the message wrong. You see what you're doing? But you know what? People don't like the rest of that. They don't like me to say that. If you can straighten this message out, if you can straighten the Bible out, then you are proclaiming that you're Almighty God. Because who else could do it? A prophet stands before no man. He answers to God alone. Am I right? So then you're trying to make yourself God. You see what all these people's doing with all these great big websites they got and everything? Oh, I straightened him out. I was the one that put that in there first. Where he was wrong over here. Oh, yeah. Show me where the message is wrong. But listen. So then God didn't stop creating when he created the world. He didn't stop creating when he created mankind.
Right.
He was using the prophets to create his body that he could come and dwell in. Come on. You remember the picture that Brother Branham talked about so much about the bride of Christ standing in the Word, you know. You remember that? The picture?
Right.
That, you know, you can hold it up like this and...
Right.
The bride, I think it's on the wall going out. I'm not certain. But you see the bride standing in there where they highlighted the words and made it stand out, look like a body. Well, that's what I'm talking about of the Old Testament. That it took all of those prophets to bring that picture into being of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became flesh. God himself. Not another person. Brother Brunley said it this way. He said he's not the first person. He's not the second, third person, second person. He said he's not even the first person. He said he's the person. Because see, if you say he's the first person, there can be more persons. Right? So he makes it plain. He's not that. Who is he? He's God Almighty. But you see, he wasn't through creating. Now, we'll get back to all of these things later, right? Where the message to this age is what? He's the beginning of the creation of God. May I quote Brother Branham? It's on proving his word. He said, and we are the continuation of that creation. So whatever he's the beginning of, somebody's the rest of it. Right? So he ain't through yet. He ain't even finished when he leaves this, remember? I create new heavens and a new earth. He's not through creating until he reaches the future home. But see, we got it all. What do you mean? He that's him. He quit back there. No, he didn't quit back there. He just got started creating. Who are you? What are you supposed to be? Brother Brown says, and knoweth it not, that you started back there as a seed and begin to work your way down. There's the children of the kingdom. The children of the kingdom is not human beings. That was the natural. That's what they've done back there. That was Israel and all of Adam. That's natural. Now he's talking about a spiritual creation. Right? I'm just getting to where I wanted to start, but we'll cover it up, and then I'll start this evening, and we'll try to have questions and answers. But don't write them down, hold them. See, the beginning was a physical creation. By the word that brought all natural things into being. He wasn't finished creating back there. That wasn't all that he wanted. He wanted to come forth himself into flesh to pay the price, the redemption, to do all of it, to redeem us. And then, by doing that, by being Almighty God and giving his life, we'll get to it this afternoon, in the scripture, where it says that when he gave his soul a ransom, he'd see his seed. He'd see his seed. Why? Because he sold them. He sold the children of the kingdom. He spoke it right there in the scriptures. We're just a fulfillment of that. Read all of those parables of the kingdom and look at it as yourself right now. The children of the kingdom. Which is called his offspring. His offspring. I'll end it with this part right here. Then his offspring is not what we think. We've been in predestination, covering it over and over. He didn't pick and choose who he wanted, right? Come on. Yes, but he chose me. No, he chose Christ. That's what Ephesians said. That's what Brother Branham says. That we were chosen in him. Well, see, you never picked your children. I've kept saying that. You didn't pick your children. Well, I'm going to have a child. It's going to be red-headed, and it's going to be blonde-headed, and it's going to be blue-headed, and it's going to be pink, and that's going to... You didn't have a whole lot to do with it. I told you, I don't even like the fact of them showing you what it is before it gets here. I still like the surprise of knowing what it is when it gets here. Because, you see, if you find out that you're going to have a girl, well, I really wanted a boy. Well, you're nice to tell your wife that, ain't you? Oh, ain't that nice? You're so wonderful. Well, honey, I wanted a boy. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Remember, your words is what kills people. And you go tell your wife, well, I wanted a girl. I wanted a boy. I wanted whatever God give us. You see, ain't that nice? You go to your wife, you know, and you say, well, I know, honey, we're going to have a baby. We'll love it and everything else. But when the little baby gets here, you know, you go to your wife and you say, honey, I know we'd love it anyway and all like that, but I wanted a boy. Well, when the baby comes, you look down at the baby and say, we got a little girl, but I wanted a boy. All during the life of that child, I wanted a boy. I wanted a boy. Well, wouldn't it be bad with Ryan? Where's he at? Four of them. Four little girls. And every time he looks at his wife, he says, Gabby, I wanted a boy. Well, I kind of like what that feller said. He had eight kids. And he said, I'm going to have me a baseball team or I'm going to get a girl one. So they got nine kids. You understand what I mean? Oh, ain't we nice with our beautiful words? Well, I didn't mean any harm by that. Well, why'd you open your blabber mouth? I thought that the male had a lot to do with it. And you blaming your wife for what? Your problem? Right. You just got to open your big blabber mouth. Well, it don't make no difference. But I said, well, if it don't make no difference, shut up. Amen. That's what we used to do here. We was downstairs one day, and we was talking about something we was going to do around here at the church. And all of the brothers were sitting down there talking about how we was going to do it. And they was, every one had a different way to do it. Well, after a while, somebody looked over at Peggy and said, where's Sam? Said he's upstairs doing what he's going to do his own way. Because what? You can sit down there all day talking about how you're going to do it. No, I'm just going to get up and go do it. But come on, folks. If we are the children of the kingdom, when are we going to start acting like his children? Is that any problem? You know, you don't have to tell the children of the kingdom to be good. That's why Brother Dale don't preach like these other preachers. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent every day of it. I don't preach like these other preachers. Hair, dress, and clothes. If you are a born-again Christian, if you are a born-again Christian, and you do those things, you're proving you're not a Christian. See, that makes Brother Dale a dirty old guy. Because it don't leave you no gray area. I just don't have a gray area. Right? You mean you got to tell a Christian how to live? How to act? How to do? Yeah. I hope you understand. You, by born again experience, are the children of the kingdom. Amen. And the children of the kingdom, I thought, was supposed to act like a king. Right. Now let's see if this even gets natural. When you leave out of that seat today, why don't you look around and see if there's anything out of place? Why don't you look and see if there's any trash? Why don't you look around and see a little bit? What's that got to do with Christianity? I thought a Christian was a Christian. You see why I don't preach like that? Because, see, I done hurt everybody's feelings in here. Right? Okay. Brother Brown says, you cannot get a Holy Ghost-filled woman to put on a pair of pants. Now, have I got to preach on pants and clothes? And yeah, to people that are not born again. To tell them what they need to do, yeah. We remember the statement Brother Brown made. Said they said, there, you know, what must we do to be saved? He said, we tell them what to quit and what to do and not to do. He said, they didn't ask that question. He said, they asked the question, what do you do to be saved? He said, we tell them what to not do. We're trying to make their salvation on something that you do or don't do. See, that's why I don't preach anyway. You know why? Because I'm a human being. And a human being knows we make mistakes and problems. They carry that band on their arms, Josh and them. I don't know where he still has his or not, but they used to have them. What would it? What was that, JJ, something like, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus act the way we do? Come on, brothers. We'll continue the message this afternoon because I didn't get to my full point. I just got to the point of what? The Son of Man is the sower of the seed. And he ain't through sowing yet.
Amen.
If there's any children to come into the kingdom, he's still sowing.
That's right.
Until redemption's over, he's still sowing. Because he's just the beginning of the creation of God.
Right.
Let's stand together. We're the rest of that creation. And what are we supposed to act like? We're supposed to act like him. Right? What we got, brother?
200 in the spiral book.
200 in the spiral book. Anybody have a need?
Oh, Jordan's stormy banks I'm standing, cast a wishful eye. Or Canaan's barren, happy land where
you got
my
need,
possessions lie.
Are we the children
I
of the
am
kingdom?
Bound for the promised land.
Children of the kingdom, or are we the tares? The only difference is the soul. Because remember, the tares are the king. The devil is not sowing, folks. He's sowing the word of God with his own idea. That's what makes tares. That's why in non-seed, there's nothing to quit. That makes it unfertile. What about it? What about it? singing it to him as you're being dismissed. And go ahead. I am bound for that promised land.